Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast,
the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing
the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
What is up? Great to have you guys back with me today in the Every Day is Saturday community. Flip the calendar over. What'd you see today? Saturday, right? Flip the calendar over yesterday. What'd you see? Saturday, right? Of course. There's no work days inside the Every Day is Saturday community. Hey, on a serious note, if you don't know who I am and you're listening for the first time and you kind of freaked out to who's this crazy guy screaming into my speakers, head on over to everydayissaturday.com. It'll tell you a little bit about myself, the brand, the movement we're creating. Also, be sure to enter your name and email so we can keep you up to date on live events, virtual events going on, and also keep you motivated, let you know what the real deal is. Also, go to No More Workdays. Just go on over to nomoreworkdays.com and download a free chapter of the most awesomest book called No More Workdays, The Journey to Making Every Day a Saturday. Hey, it's great to have you guys here. We're going to talk a lot today about perspective. I'm a big, big fan of keeping things in perspective, keeping things real, and not sweating the small stuff. Do I get uptight a little bit? Of course I do. Do I get angry? I wouldn't say a lot, although my kids would probably beg to differ. I've got girls, all girls, 12, 9, and 8 years old. That's my penance for who I was earlier in life. So they would probably tell you that dad is a little quick on the old anger level late at night when they've done the same thing they're not supposed to do 15,000 times. But other than that, I think I'm a pretty cool cucumber. So I want to share with you a story called The Last Cab Ride and then give a little bit of perspective to this as well. And just put yourself in the shoes because, hey, look, on a serious note, which I can be serious a little bit of the time, not a lot of the time, but on a serious note, people are going to hack you off every day, man. Whether somebody flips you the bird in traffic, somebody is judging you, making fun of you, mocking, ridicule, somebody steals some money from you, bad business deal. I mean, we've all had that happen, right? And then we come home, punch a hole in the wall or grab a bottle of whiskey and drown our sorrows, whatever it is, man. It's like you got to get away for a night. But put it all in perspective, though. And I think once you've been living life a little bit, you understand that these things are going to come and go. They just are. Bad things happen to good people. But having perspective is what it's all about. So I was reading this short story from Kent Nerburn, and it's a true story, which is always good. True stories are always good as well. Hang with me on this one because I think it's pretty awesome. It goes like this. 20 years ago, I drove a cab for a living. One time I arrived in the middle of the night for a pickup at a building that was dark except for a single light in a ground floor window. Under these circumstances, many drivers would just honk once or twice, wait a minute, and then they drive away. But I had seen too many impoverished people who depended on taxis as their only means of transportation. Unless the situation smelled of danger, I always went to the door. This passenger might be someone who needs my assistance, and I reasoned to myself. So I walked to the door and I knocked. "Just a minute," answered a frail, elderly voice. I could hear something being dragged across the floor. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her 80s stood before me. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned on it, like something out of the 1940s. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets, and there were no clocks on the walls, no knickknacks or utensils on the counters. In the corner was a cardboard box filled with photos and glassware. "Would you carry my bag out to the car?" she said. I took the suitcase to the cab, then returned to assist the woman. She took my arm, and we walked slowly towards the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. "It's nothing," I told her. "I just try to treat my passengers the way I would want my mother to be treated." "Oh, you're such a good boy," she said. When we got in the cab, she gave me an address and then asked, Could you drive through downtown? It's not the shortest way, I answered quickly. Oh, I don't mind, she said. I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice. I looked in the rearview mirror. Her eyes were glistening. I don't have any family left, she continued. The doctor says I don't have very long. I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. What route would you like me to take? I asked. For the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she'd ask me to slow down in front of a particular building or a corner, and we'd just sit there staring into the darkness, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was creasing the horizon, she suddenly said, I'm tired. Let's go now. We drove in silence to the address she gave me. It was a low building, like a small convalescent home, with a driveway that passed under a portico. Two orderlies came out to the cab as soon as we pulled up. They were solicitous and intent, watching her every move. They must have been expecting her. I opened the trunk and took the small suitcase to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. How much do I owe you? She asked, reaching in her purse. Nothing, I said. You have to make a living, she answered. There are other passengers. Almost without thinking, I bent and gave her a hug. She held on to me tightly. You gave an old woman a little moment of joy, she said. Thank you. I squeezed her hand, then walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of the closing of a life. I didn't pick up any more passengers that shift. I drove aimlessly, lost in thought. For the rest of the day, I could hardly talk. What if that woman had gotten an angry driver, or one who was impatient to end his shift? What if I had refused to take the run, or had honked once and then driven away? On a quick review, I don't think that I've done anything more important in my life. We're conditioned to think that our lives revolve around great moments, but great moments often catch us unaware, beautifully wrapped in what others may consider a small one. And that's The Last Cab Ride, a true story by Kent Nerburn. So after you hear that story, what do you think? You know, you happy, you sad, excited, dejected, you know, a little bit, introspective. It certainly puts a lot of things in perspective. I'll tell you how it hit me. And it's kind of wild because I was like, wow, that's going to be me. I hope I get a chance to take a last cab ride around town, wherever that town is. I don't even know if it's going to be Cincinnati, Ohio, where I live now. Maybe it's my hometown, Bradford, PA. Maybe it's a small town of Springville, New York, where we currently have a home as well. Maybe it's someplace we've never even been before, you know. But you take that last cab ride, I take that through my mind. You guys ever find yourself, just reminiscing about 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and boy, if I could go back then. Oh, man, those were the good old days. You know, and I don't think we live in the present state enough about saying, what can I do right now to make a lasting memory? And it's kind of deep because, look, I mean, you got so much going on. If you're married, you have kids and family and all these different things you got to do, probably the last thing on your mind is making a lasting memory. But that's what I've been trying to do. Since I left my job, I've been trying to make so – maybe I put too much pressure on myself, but I try to make so many lasting memories with my kids and with my wife and with me and, you know, just trying to do some – I wouldn't call it – I'm not like I'm jumping out of an airplane every day, but – you know, if I find us winding down around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, hey, let's jump in the car. Let's go someplace. We go to Kings Island for just an hour. It's an amusement park here in Ohio. Let's even go to the drive-thru McDonald's, grab ice cream, go to Dairy Queen, do something. Let's get a little bit more out of this day instead of just sitting around. Let's make one more memory. Because to be honest with you, the best memories in your life are not the ones where you had to spend a lot of money. You know, usually they're the ones that happen on a whim. Life came to you. You didn't have to come to life. You know what I mean? It's like you were in the moment at the time and you didn't have any worries, any doubts and nothing like that. And that's what I think where we got to get to at some point is, man, just enjoying today. Be present. So many people are in the past or worried about what's going to happen in the future. Neither one of which you can control. You know, are you a prisoner? What's going on? And I think this type of story, the last cab ride, I'll tell you how it really hit me. And this is the first thing I thought about. My mom died July 7th, 1997, okay? And prior to that, the week before was my birthday, June 29th. I was 29 years old that year. I was turning 29 years old. My mom called. I was engaged at the time to my future wife, Angela. We were living in Buffalo, New York, about 80 miles north of Bradford, Pennsylvania, where my mom lived, in my hometown. That's where I was born and raised. And she called. She said, hey, can you come down? Your sister's going to be here. I'm the youngest of eight kids, by the way, one of my two sisters. I have five brothers and two sisters. One of my two sisters was going to be in town that weekend. And I was like, oh, yeah, maybe. You know, I was 29 years old, golfing every day, had a four-day weekend because the 4th of July was coming up that week. And so I had some really big plans with my buddies and stuff and having some fun. But I'm like, oh, I don't know. She goes, oh, just try to come down. I'm like, yeah, okay. So I said, all right, Ange, let's go. We're going down to Bradford for the weekend, and we'll play some golf down there, hang out with Mom. My sister Sue's going to be there, so we went down there on a Thursday night or Friday night. I can't remember, but long story short, that Saturday night, July 6th, I think it was, that Saturday night, we went out. My wife and I went out to eat, and we went to this bar, met some people for a little bit. And then we came home, and the day before we had spent all day with my mom hanging out and talking and all that stuff. And that night, my mom was a chatterbox. I mean, it was, you know, we didn't get home till probably midnight. And my mom was waiting up, of course, because, you know, if you have parents, even though you're 30 years old, they still wait up for you. And my mom, I crashed. I mean, I was so tired that night after being out for a couple straight nights. My mom kept my wife, Angela, up, though, standing in the doorway, just talking and talking, just like the story, The Last Cab Ride, reminiscing, telling her all these stories that used to happen back in the day, even before I was born, you know, where we lived in different states and all this stuff. And Aunt just stood there like the good daughter-in-law and, you know, listened the entire time. And then, you know, we went to, Aunt went to sleep. We got up the next day. It was Sunday. And I hung out for a little bit, me and Aunt did. And then we left probably around noon, drove back to Buffalo. And that's where the you know, that's where the story obviously takes a little bit of a sad turn, because my mom passed away that night, sitting on the couch watching television. So I think back at this last cab ride, and I think how much my mom wanted us to come down to Bradford that weekend. And what if I would have said no? What if I would have been like I normally was, just some selfish 20-something kid? Said, Mom, come on, I'll come down next weekend. This is 4th of July weekend. We're on Lake Erie here. You know, the bars are hopping. Things are fun. We're playing golf. But I didn't. And it was an opportunity. I've never seen my mom really that calm, and that she's usually kind of an anxious lady. She was 69 years old, all kind of a worrywart type of thing, but not that weekend. Really at peace, you know, very much at peace. And if you've ever lost someone, to see them go through their final days, they're at peace, man. They've accepted it more than the family members have. And I think some people do have a way of knowing, you know, that they may be having their last days. And I don't know if you've lost somebody recently, or even 20 years ago, or like myself, 16 years ago. It never leaves you, and you always think about what if. Yeah, and you definitely think about that day, don't you? Don't you take yourself back and think, where were you that day, the last day you were with them, or when you found out they weren't with you anymore? And I think about that story, The Last Cab Ride, and it puts everything in perspective. I mean, golly, we worry how much money I got in my bank account, what bills are due next week, and who said what about me, and, you know, like I said, traffic jams, and didn't get this place on time or that place on time. None of it matters. I mean, none of it matters. You know what matters is what you're doing right now. Right now, like this very moment, are you doing something right now that you absolutely love to do, or are you at least going to do something today that you want to do? Or are you going to put it off because of money? Are you going to put it off because you don't have time? You know, you may not wake up tomorrow. And think about that story. Think about the last cab ride. Just think about that story and think about that taxi driver who could have done 1,000 different things that night but ended up taking the old lady on the last journey around the city and got a real good opportunity to gain perspective on his own life, and subsequently, I'm sure, has had an impact on other people's lives as a result. And that's kind of what I do, you know? That's the space I'm in right now. And I don't know if you've gotten to that place yet, but boy, I would love to encourage you to get there. I would love to encourage you to get to a place where we're all going to have worry, we're all going to have fear, we're all going to have some doubt. That's just human. But you don't have to have it overtake your life, and you don't have to have it run your life. You know, there's some people that just fear, worry, doubt, it runs their life, man. They can't, it's just they worry, 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 as if they're going to change a problem just by worrying. It ain't going to happen. You know that last line of the last cab ride story that the gentleman talked about? Great moments often catch us unaware, beautifully wrapped in what others may consider a small one. You know, I consider that last trip down there, the week of July 4th weekend in 1997, just a small trip. I'd made it 1,000 times. It had really no significance until my mom died the next day, and then it had all the significance in the world. So don't think for a minute that something, a decision you make today is a small one, that something you do for somebody today is a small feat. It may have a butterfly effect, a ripple effect that's going to last for years and years to come, not only in your life, but in their lives as well. And I really do believe you can't do life alone. I mean, you got to continually look, how can I help? How can I serve? How can I add a tremendous amount of value? That's what the Everyday Saturday mission is all about. How can I help you? What story can I share? What idea can I share with you? Or what can we share as a result, you know, of each other's, what we're doing? That's why I asked. Hit me up on Twitter, at Sam Crowley. Share your experiences. What story do you want to share? What is there a link to a story that you want us to share? Is there something, content that you want to see shared on this show, man? Bring it out. Don't hold back and say, oh, Sam wouldn't like that. Who knows? We could very well use it on the show. I don't believe you do life alone. And I also think life's an inside job. You know, the 6 inches between your ears is where it's won the most of the time, because as you reflect back, that's all you have is the memories. I have the memories of that trip back to Bradford in the first week of July of 1997, the last cab ride. He has his memory. The elderly lady has her memory. What's the memory that you are going to make today? Or are you going to sit around worried about your bank account and how much time you don't have and who did you wrong and all that stupid stuff that doesn't matter, okay? Make a lasting memory, and it doesn't have to be jumping out of an airplane. It can be the small moments, preferably that you help somebody else, right? There's a lot of small moments I was helped turned into big ones. I can tell you the people's names. I can tell you exactly where I was, what they did. And I know they don't consider it a big deal. I consider it huge. And for those people in my life, I'll always be eternally grateful. All right. Hey, it's great having you guys with us in the Everyday is Saturday community. We'll be back better than ever tomorrow with a brand new, fresh show. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Everyday is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Everyday is Saturday.